19th in southern Lyon County. KBOE Live and local. Good morning on a Friday. It is 8:21, 74 degrees, and time for What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning at this time. Of course, log on to KBOE.com and hop on the What's In Outdoors page for a list of all kinds of area activities, information, photos as well. What's In Outdoors, Phil Totten. This morning, live from the Marina on the Water in Council Grove. Hey there, Phil.
Good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Last Tuesday, the doctor gave me a word that I can proceed with normal activities.
Well, good to hear, Phil.
So the shoulder is on the mend. Now I just need to figure out what normal activities are around here and the way the summer's been going. But we are at the Marina on the Water, and it is just a beautiful morning. It's calm. I mean, it would be one of those mornings you want to sit out on your porch and drink coffee and just marvel at the world the Lord has given us to enjoy.
Yes, indeed. All right. Yeah, enjoy that weather out there before it gets too hot.
I did get involved with trying to do something like normal activities the other day. I tried to weed the garden.
I don't think that's normal, Phil. I think you said that's not normal.
Well, it's not after all the rain and not being in there. And, Ron, you can't believe the size of those zucchini I found in there. I put them on the wash machine and put them on my Facebook page. And a fellow over around Harrington, Bart, he gave me a call, and I just showed how big these zucchinis were and that I wish that the fish I was catching was that big. He said that you need to harvest them sooner, Phil. Well, I couldn't find them sooner. But then he said up around his parts that the garden has been so good, you just don't leave your car unlocked because you might come back and it'd be full of zucchini.
That could be, so, yeah.
But, Ron, I do have a lost dog report I got to get out. You know, Bev Hilvish, we're doing that Twin Rivers Junior Shooting Sports Program, and about, I think it was yesterday, they have lost their labs.
Oh,
they,
no.
They did have collars on them, and they had a yard protecting bear. But I guess the dog just wanted to get out, so they just gritted it out and got through that electric barrier, and now they're on the run. There was a report that they were out on North Burlington Road just this morning. And so if you just see a couple of labs, they're red labs that are running together, please give Bev a call at 620-340-7521.
Okay. Yeah, give Bob a call. Okay.
Yeah, well, I got to find them labs. I'll tell you, to a dog lover, that's just like a missing child report, I guarantee you. So, we do have Christian Schrock with us this morning, and he is with Schrockbriar Old Smokehouse there in Emporia. And he's a maker of a real fine jerky that we had, and you should have saw those kayakers. He gave us some to put in the event, and jerky is something that I really like and experiment with making. And, of course, way back when, settling in the United States, they had a primitive form of jerky, I guess. Christian, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that. So, Christian, welcome to the What's In Outdoors Show.
Thank you. Good to be here. Yeah, as far as the beef jerky, I mean, that's one of our basics that when we first started was that I wanted to keep it as in line with the ways they used to do it and stuff. So it's not a processed jerky. It is like chopped and pressed. It's mainly cut from whole muscle meat and marinated in spices and stuff like that.
Well, you talk about the way they used to do it. Isn't there so many ways to make jerky? I mean, the old-timers and by old, our Native Americans, did they just slice it and like put it up on a rack and maybe let the sun dry it, or did they put it over smoke, or, you know, with a minimum of heat coming on there, or just what were some of the old ways and how we processed to make better jerky now?
Well, a lot of it back then, I'm pretty sure it was mostly like a salt or salt base that they would use, so it was salted meat is what they did. And as far as drying it, it was usually a pretty slow process, long process, because you don't really want to cook it. You want it to dry out over the heat. So low heat or possibly sun dried.
Well, how long have you been in business with the Old Smokehouse and doing this and distributing your product?
We started actually back in 2018, and I started making jerky about a year before and went through a lot of different recipes, tried a lot of different things, and our jerky became unique when I decided instead of using water in it like everybody else did, I started using dark beer. So it's dark beer marinated, and then I smoke dried it. Well, I built a smokehouse and started doing it in there, larger amounts, and actually started selling it at like farmers markets and different areas and stuff like that and online. And it was going so well, we decided to go ahead and get a license for it. And we just kind of went from there, and that was at the end of 2018. And so basically the way it is now, we kind of been in business since November of 2018.
Well, other than using a smokehouse, you know me, I would start small. And I did. I'm thinking of a smokehouse I tried to make one time, Kristen, using an old icebox. And, of course, they said put it on a fire first to get all the insulation and everything burn out of it. Well, I'll tell you, that icebox got to rocking. Well, refrigerator in these days terms, not an icebox. It got to rocking and rolling, and I thought it was going to blow up. But for a person to start out making their own jerky, and I know a lot of the outdoorsmen that hunt and fish, they will make jerky at home. There's confection ovens. There's ovens at home. There's dehydrators. So if you're thinking small, is there a particular brine you should use in a small way as compared to a big smokehouse? And if you can, give us the dimensions of your smokehouse.
My smokehouse was actually, it was about 7 feet tall, but it was like 4x4. So it held a lot of racks and everything, had a nice place for the heat down below. As far as starting small, yeah, you can always start off with your oven. And there are dehydrators you can buy. I don't personally like dehydrated jerky. I would rather have it smoke or heat dried. And, you know, starting small, I used to smoke stuff before I started making the jerky on just a Weber grill. As long as you have the heat offset and you have the smoke on one side so the meat doesn't get actually, you know, hot and cooked by the fire, then, you know, the trick is just low and slow as far as the heat and keep it low and just give it several hours, and it'll dry up real nice.
Of course, I would always need to be peeking in there, Christian, to see how things are going. Does that really hurt your process? The more you open the door, you're losing heat. Just how bad does that hurt your process? Instead of just saying, I'm going to put X amount of meat in here and let it dry for 4 hours. Is there a difference? You shouldn't be peeking in there, should you?
No, you really don't want to. I mean, you want to keep that constant heat and that amount of smoke that's in there. I tell you what, I mean, one thing you can use is if you don't have a grill that has a temperature gauge on it, you can buy just a thermometer or something like that that goes inside there so you don't have to open it up and look. My jerky, when I was doing it at home and stuff that I smoked, I give a peek at it about every 2 hours just to make sure it's going good.
You mentioned temperature. What temperature do you like to do it with?
Well, as far as the jerky, I try to keep it under 170, but above 160. So I want to make sure it's above 160 to kill a lot of the meat bacteria and stuff that might be in there for, you know, I would say at least 30 minutes above. But you try to keep it above as much as possible. But, you know, I keep between 170 and 160. 180 might be the top that I would use, but at that point, it's going to start cooking.
Where did you come up with plans for your smokehouse, or is that something you just made yourself? And with that, what is your favorite type of wood?
The smokehouse itself, I really just kind of made it up. I don't even know where I got the I'd seen smokehouses and stuff before, so I kind of understood the process of it or what was needed. And so I just built it from there, just off what I thought would make a good smokehouse. And as far as wood for smoking, it all depends on what you're doing. I like, you know, hickory, mesquite. Those are some of my favorites. If you want a little bit hotter, wood.
Stay away from pine and cedar.
Yeah, definitely stay away from any kind of sappy trees or anything. You don't want that sap on your meat. as it smokes out. Fruit wood for different kinds of pork and fish and stuff like that is really good. Like I said, mesquite and hickory, those are always my favorites. So,
do you do like pork butts, big cuts of meat, turkey, and things like that in the same smokehouse you use to make turkey?
I did. I did that for a long time, and I still do it. I have a different kind of smoker now. It's like a pellet grill smoker is what I use now. But when I was doing it before, I would do everything. I would do pork butts. I would do briskets. I would do roasts, chicken. I started out smoking salmon is what one of my big things was. Good. I lived in Alaska for about 2.5 years. And I really got into smoking when I was up there, smoking salmon for myself and for other people.
I told a story one time, Kristen, that I took some smoked gar and carp to a field trial in Dodge City. And I didn't tell people what it was other than it was smoked fish. And I had guys from Texas and Oklahoma come up there, and they said, "What's that?" I said, "Smoked fish." And they was eating that stuff hand over fist, just as fast as they could eat it. "Well, Phil, what kind of fish is this?" And I said, "Well, it's carp and gar." And it was just like a silence fell in there, a gloomy cloud. And I lost half of those people to that. But I try to keep an open mind, and it was good. I guarantee you I need to get back in there. And I do vaguely remember what was smoking fish that I used brown sugar and lemon into this marinade. Now, with your product, you mentioned dark beer. Is there any other secrets you can let us know about?
Pretty much with smoking and stuff like that, you kind of want to keep the amount of rub or whatever you put on your meat high, because a lot of it's going to, you know, come off of it during the process. So you almost want to over-season a lot of stuff when you're smoking it for a real long period of time. I can tell you, you know, just about any kind of barbecue rub or anything that you can purchase at the store, or there's a lot of recipes out there for different rubs that you can make yourself if you have the ingredients or whatever. One of the biggest things is just black pepper and salt. I mean, that's pretty good. And then, like you said, you know, brown sugar. Brown sugar gives it a nice sweet coating. And if you're smoking something for a real long time, like some of the briskets I've done, it gives it a nice caramelization on the outside, kind of blackens the outside of it. So, yeah.
Well, I know when we were field trialing up around S&P Game Bird Farm, and Rick Anderson would host us over to his hideout, one time he served snow goose to us. And it was a combination of a marinade, and he cooked it out on the grill. And Christian, really, other than the texture of that meat, I couldn't tell the difference between snow goose and a good steak, because it was just delicious. So there are some ways, some things to learn when you do that. If you ever told me that a snow goose would taste like that, I would say, "Well, you can see, tell me, show me, let me taste it." But for our hunters with deer, if you were going to do deer and make jerky, is there any tips you can give us?
I have done deer before. Of course, I can't sell it in the stores and stuff, but I have done deer for other people. And the deer jerky that I've done, I mean, the biggest thing is to make sure you trim it really good, get a lot of the fat off or most that you can, any kind of gristle or anything like that. And then you want to make sure you slice it nice and thin, and then, you know, season it and smoke it. You season something right and smoke it right, it's going to taste good.
Well, Christian, how can people get a hold of you if they're interested in your jerky, or where do you sell it there in an Emporia where they can go out and get some?
Well, you can always get a hold of us. We have a web page. It is www.shrockbeerjerky.com, and that's our web page, and we do have a store on there that you can order directly off of, and we'll ship it anywhere to you. Or if you can, you know, just want to pick up a bag, there's always the information that's on the back. My email is on there, shrockbeer@yahoo.com. Get a hold of me that way. And as far as stores, we've got a lot of stores in Emporia, Council Grove, Topeka, Wichita, all the way up in Oklahoma. Just got some in Lawrence that carries our jerky. Locally, as far as Emporia, you can get it at Cash Saver. There's Country Mart, both Finish Line gas stations. Sutherland's carries it. The Twin Rivers Winery, they're a good one. They always carry it down there. But, yeah, so you can pick it up there, or or locally in, up here in Council Grove. You can get it at Adams Lumber or Ray's Apple Market. They sell it there or out here at the marina.
Goodness, you are branching out, Mr. Christensen. That's cool. Ron, it's always good to hear of Emporia business doing good, and it is based right there in Emporia.
Good to hear.
Thank you for being on the show. And Ron, let's go to that first break, and we'll come back. And I got a couple of special grandkids with me that have been wearing this old man out. Like I said, normal activity. I got to figure out what that's all about.
All right. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors, KVOE Live and Local. What's in Outdoors brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50 and our good friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Being country has always been cool, but these days it's cooler than ever. And although you respect the classic cowboy look, you want a style that's unique to you. That's why Wrangler Retro Jeans combine that classic Wrangler look with modern fits, styles, and washes that are crafted for today. So whether you're hanging out at the rodeo or out on the town, you can have some old school fun with a new western look. Just head to Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia, and try on a pair of Wrangler Retro Jeans today. Wrangler Retro Jeans. Long live Cowboys.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. You are tuned to What's in Outdoors every Friday morning here, hosted by Phil Totten. And Phil's got the studio, right out the marina at the Water Council Grove here this morning. And Phil's got a couple of grandkids with him there this morning. Back to you, Phil.
Ron, I'm with Carly and Cooper Rich from Tomball, Texas, and they've come up. If you remember, about 3 years ago, we had Carly and Cooper on the show, and back in the days we could come into the studio, and these kids are a delight, but they are full of energy, I guarantee you. So I want to announce the winners of our summer-long Family Fun Fishing Contest, and listeners, we do have 6 more weeks left in there. And it's just been a great experience for me sharing with the kids and listening to the parents talking about catching the fish and showing me the photos. And we will have them up on the Watson Outdoors Facebook page later on in today. But our bass winner is from Council Grove. It's Carter Wirtz. And our catfish winner is Cruz Bradley. He's from Slina, and he's a repeat winner. He's only sent me about 40 entries, so that's pretty cool. But, Cooper, we fished for catfish there off the dock with minimal success. The fish haven't been as big as those zucchini. So what do you think about catfishing in Kansas?
Well, honestly, it's very fun.
Very fun?
Yes, sir.
What do I tell you about handling one of them? Remember the fins?
Yes. You don't want to get poked by the fins.
What did we use for bait?
We used either sunfish or hot dogs with something, the stink stuff.
Stinky stuff. Well, that does explain catfishing. But then, Ron, our crappie winner is Emily Lauer, and she's from Chase County. The family is really a fishing family. I think the mother is a teacher over at the elementary school there in Chase County. But real nice pictures of some crappie with Emily. And, Carly, we went crappie fishing the other day. What did you think about that?
I think it was most fun because I caught the most fish.
Now, Ron, can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
She's going to be a freshman in high school, already making competitions on fishing. Coop, do you think she caught the most fish?
No. What? She cheated. What? How do
now, how do you cheat fishing?
I don't know, but she just cheated.
That sounds like a little brother, doesn't it, Ron? Anyway, our sunfish winner is a repeat winner, Bodie Keith. And he has a real nice picture of a crappie, and he has that bobber swinging on the end of the pole. Our fifth category is anything you can catch, and that's also another repeat winner, Elena Edwards. And she was part of our fishing activity that we had there at the Provost Aquatic Research and Outreach Center there on the campus of Emporia. Well, folks, we got 6 more weeks in the contest, and there is a lot of great prizes going on. You can win. In September, we'll be having a drawing for $100 gift certificates. That'll go for the stories that really excite me. And then we'll also be giving away a lifetime fishing license, a crappie fishing adventure with Joe Bragg, and then also the Council Gold Marina will award the winning family a half-day rental of the pontoon. So, Ron, let's go to that last break, and we will finish the story up.
All right, you're tuned to What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten, live from the Marina on the Water in Council Grove, right after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
Hey, 4-H'ers, if it's show supplies you're needing for the fair, Blue Stem is there. Say you're needing livestock grooming materials or fly spray, maybe some lead ropes, halters, feed buckets, or even animal clippers, so you and insert animal name here can give it your best shot at showtime. At Blue Stem, we know what a mighty big role 4-H plays in our community, and we aim to make life easier for you. So if it's purple ribbons you're aiming for, come see us at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. It is 8:42. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten. The Marina on the Water is where Phil is, here this morning. With the program, beautiful morning out there as well. Back to you, Phil.
Well, Ron, during the break, kids reminded me of all the things that they've done out here at the lake this summer. And I was just wondering if we can talk a little bit more about that and what they've enjoyed being, what I say, enjoying our activities outside for a better inside. Well, Cooper, what's the favorite thing you've done this summer on your visit?
Probably go water skiing.
Water skiing. Now, did you like water skiing better than knee boarding?
It's tough to say. They're both really fun.
Okay. Was yesterday the very first time you water skied?
Yes, sir. It is.
How did you do?
I did pretty good. I got it for my first try.
First try. Now, that's something, Ron, it took me about a first week to do, to get up on two skis. But he's quite accomplished, quite athletic. But how come your eyes got so big at one time you went over the wake and fell?
Well, because I wasn't expecting it.
Well, I tell you, those big eyes will come when you're not expecting a lot of things. Carly, what have you enjoyed so much about your visit to Kansas?
It's really hard to say because I've had so many new things that I've tried this visit. It's really been so cool, but I have to agree with Cooper. Skiing and kneeboarding, they were just the most fun. I was able to get in and out of the wake, and I kept falling.
Yeah, it took you 3 or 4 times before you could get up and go. Ron, I tell you, these kids, they really make it something being out here in the great outdoors, and maybe that's something that's keeping me a little bit younger. Who knows? I do got a Nature's Note report, Ron, and our fifth winner, her entry was a crayfish. But I got something from Wildlife and Parks saying that researchers have discovered a new species in McPherson Lake, and we always talk about evasive species coming into Kansas and doing harm to our native populations. And this crawdad or crayfish is known as a rusty crayfish. And they're someplace else. I don't know if the fish here in Kansas will eat them as much as they will any other crawdad. But it is something to watch out for. And so that's why we have ANS protective measures when you go to one body of water, not to take anything from that body of water to another. But Chris Steffens put this out, and he's right there at the office in Emporia. He's an aquatic nuisance species coordinator, and he says this crayfish is larger, more aggressive species compared to our native one, and so with that there will be a competition for space and food that might disturb our ecosystem. I'll be in Emporia tomorrow at the Flint Hills Mall, Ron. We're being taken part of the Twin Rivers junior shooting sports program, and goodness gracious, they do have a lineup for people to come out and enjoy. I'll be working with a couple of youngsters that we call our junior assisting volunteers through our Fish Kansas program, and hopefully one of these days they'll be able to volunteer and take the program to bigger levels. We will be doing our Vamos a Pescar event. Our second event is coming up on August 21 at Camp Alexander. We're shooting it for 50 families, and our first session fell about 8 families short. So if you can get hold of me at outdoors@kvoe.com, I'll let you know how you can get enrolled as a family, and each family will get 2 fishing poles, a tackle box, and I guarantee you a good time.
Yeah.
And our final episode will be September 25th at Peter Pan Park, and that will include a fish fry. So Ron, that ought to about do it for the show. Have seen a couple of hummingbirds coming into the yard, and next week I hope to have a couple of people hooked up with a pollinator program and a conservation program on what we can do to help our critters in the wild.
Before you leave us, Bill, how was the Up the Creek Kayak Challenge last week?
Oh, goodness. If you was down here last Saturday, it was something. We had over 90 boats get in there and enter, and, of course, I had a good time doing the fishing activity. And I mentioned before that they'd leave Marina Cove, go to Neosho Park, and what a pretty park that was. And there they participated in what we do, the backyard bass, and we'll be doing that at the Flint Hills Mall tomorrow. But I required each kayaker to come in there and to make a cast into our school of fish. But when this one lady, she came in and I put that Zepco 33 in her hand, and she said, goodness, Bill, this brings back a whole lot of memory that it's been so long since I had a fishing pole in my hand. You know, I told her, I said, this is a game that we can play in schools. It's very educational with what we do. And when I told her that one of our fish in this school, since we did have a lot of adults and we do have concessions down here at the Marina on the Water, it had a fish that if you caught it, you would get a free margarita or a free soft drink. And you know, Ron, I could hardly get that fish and pull back out of her hands.
That's what it's all about, isn't it, Phil? Huh?
That and, of course, you know, out in the wild, that fish dinner is often good, too. But from there, from people that really wanted to get a wild card in our poker run, they would go over to Kansas Park. And over there, there is a disc golf course. It's real nice. But since they went that far, we had the disc golf activity set up at Canning Creek, which is probably our best park here on Councilville Reservoir. But they also went over to White Point, and there they were greeted with water if they needed it, and they picked up another card. Then they went to Canning Creek, and we had people go whatever direction they wanted to go to the route. It wasn't a speed thing. It was just enjoying a day on the waters. But then they went to Canning Creek, and there they participated in disc golf and learned to feel that. And so there's so many people haven't experienced that. They wonder, what's all these people in Emporia doing out here chasing a little disc? Well, once you get these things in your hands and do it, you'll gain a special feeling for that and enjoy a little bit more. But then they come over here to Santa Fe, and there they participated in the beanbag toss. So it was a great time was had by all Quail and Upland Wildlife Federation, which, by the way, here at Council Grove does a whole lot of programs for youth. They'll be having their banquet in September, and I'll get more a word out on that. They provided a good lunch, and the winning hand was 4 jacks.
Ooh, nice hand.
It was. There might have been, like Cooper said, some suspicious activity going on with that because some of the kayakers fell out of the boat, and their cards that we had were pretty wet. But anyway, a good time was had by all, and we hope to do it again next July.
What a great program. What a great day. Keep up the great work, Phil.
Appreciate you, Ron. Take care. God bless.
All right. Yeah, Phil Todd, What's In Outdoors. And Phil said he'll be in town tomorrow for the big event out at Flint Hills Mall, Twin Rivers Shooting Junior Shooting Sports, having their Exploring the Great Outdoors Day. This will be 10 until 4 at Flint Hills Mall, kids ages 7 to 18. And there's all kinds of great stuff going to be happening at the mall tomorrow, hosted by Twin Rivers Junior Shooting Sports. KVOE Live and Local, What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten, brought to you every week by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50, And our good friends at Express Tire and Auto, John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto will take great care of you. East 12th near the Water Tower. Good morning. It's 8:50.
Ready or not, the Olympics are here. Fireworks at the start of the opening ceremony.